Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now we're going to turn again to John's Gospel, this time to chapter 9, please. And we're going to read just a few scattered verses through the chapter, reading at verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Verse 10. So these are the neighbours of the man, ask him a question. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. I'm just moving down the chapter. verse 17. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. Verse 31, Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And that will do for the reading of the scriptures this evening. What we find in John chapter 9 is that the man who is introduced to us at the beginning of the chapter, a man who had been born blind, he had never seen, he has his eyes opened. But as we move down the chapter, we discover that he has other eyes that are being opened as well. And at the end of the chapter, he has come to appreciate who the Lord Jesus really is. And there's a lovely picture, because whilst all of us, I think, in the meeting room, we can see with our physical eyes, but nevertheless, there is a sense in which men and women, boys and girls, they are in darkness and they need their eyes opened. Indeed, that is the words that were spoken to the Apostle Paul by the Lord Jesus, and Paul preaches this in Acts chapter 26. And when the Apostle Paul was had been converted, the Lord Jesus said to him that he was going to send him to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. And so in our unbelief, in our distance from God, the Bible sees us as being in darkness and being those who need our eyes opened. Now, we want to really focus on verses 35 through to 37 for a few minutes, but we just want to make one or two remarks about how the man was healed. And we're not going to go into all the details of the remarkable way in which he was made to see again, but very simply, he did what the Lord Jesus commanded him to do. In other words, obedience to the words of Christ were the way in which the man came to have his physical sight again. The Lord Jesus said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," and the man just did what he was told. The man just obeyed the word of God. And that is the route to blessing in the gospel. We have to simply do what the word of God tells us to do. And so the Bible tells us to repent and believe. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And Paul, when he writes a book about the message of the gospel, he speaks about the obedience of faith. In other words, we have to believe what God says and we need to act on it. And we need to put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, the man comes to an increasing appreciation of the Lord Jesus as this chapter unfolds. And when he is asked about, well, how were your eyes opened? He says, a man that is called Jesus made clay. And that was true. But it wasn't the whole truth. And that's what this passage unfolds to us as the man comes to a deeper appreciation of who the Lord Jesus is. But he starts with this, a man that is called Jesus. And that reminds us, of course, of the glorious fact that the Son of God became a man. This gospel begins with the Word becoming flesh and tabernacling amongst us. But of course, there is great moment in his name, Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And this name involves, for the Lord Jesus, going to Calvary and laying down his life, being that sacrifice for sins that we might have, as it were, our eyes opened, and that we might have cleansing from our sins, and that we might have forgiveness. And the man starts his journey here in John chapter 9 with this statement, a man that is called Jesus made clay. And then we discover that he comes to a deeper appreciation and he realizes that the Lord Jesus, he sees him as a prophet. In other words, he sees him as one who spoke the word of God. And that was true. The Lord Jesus brought to men and women God's word. He is God's communication to men. And then he saw him as a worshiper of God. He recognized the devotion of the Lord Jesus. And now we come really to the crux of the matter in verses 35 to 37. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And this is the key question. Because in John chapter 3, verse 16, we read this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, the only begotten Son of God, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we want to think about this little incident when the Lord Jesus found the man and what the Lord Jesus has to say to him. Now you'll notice that this is an example of a question not being directed to the Son of God, but a question that was asked by the Son of God. Imagine being asked a question by God. Now, I suppose that sometimes when we're asked questions, we get a little defensive. And maybe when we're asked questions, those questions are challenging and we don't really want to answer it or we have no answer. But how about being asked this question by the Son of God this afternoon? Do you believe in the Son of God? What a question. Now, we can go back through the Bible and read questions that God asks. We could come to the Garden of Eden and God speaks to man, "Where art thou? Where are you?" And the idea in that passage is there is a distance come in between man and God because sin has come in. And man is at a distance. Where are you? What a question to be asked this afternoon. Do you understand that you're at a distance from God because of your sin? When you come over a chapter into chapter 4 of Genesis and you read the story of Cain and Abel, what hast thou done? The question of accountability to God. God holds us accountable for what we have done and how we have acted in this world. It reminds us that we are not simply agents that can live as we please with no consequence. And God there challenges Cain, what hast thou done? And that question comes to all of us, where are we? And what have we done? But here in John chapter number 9, the Lord Jesus asks this very pertinent, directed question. Do you believe on the Son of God? Now notice that it is a personal question. Do you, or dost thou, as it's put in our English authorized version? This is personal. This question could be asked of anybody, of course, but this afternoon we want it to be a question that is asked of from the Son of God to you and I as individuals. Do you believe on the Son of God? And the very fact that the Lord Jesus speaks of himself as the Son of God is vitally important, because it is as the Son of God that the Father sent him. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. The Son of God is the one that is presented in John's Gospel as the only Saviour that can save us from our sins. It brings before us his deity, that here is the very creator of all things, one of the Godheads. This is the reason why this Gospel is written, as we'd find it in John chapter 20, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing we might have life in his name. This is the key question. Do you believe in the Son of God? Now, we need to say a little bit about this idea of believing here. It is not simply an acceptance of facts about the Son of God. You say, well, I'm comfortable with the fact that Jesus lived in the world. And I accept the fact that he died at Calvary. I accept even that he rose again. There is more to that. Those are facts that can be known. But this is a confidence that you have in him. You trust him. You place your confidence into him. You believe on him. You rest on him. And so when Paul and Silas were asked the question of the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, what must I do to be saved? They gave the answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And the idea of believing on is just resting on, depending on. And if you were to ask Saul and Silas and say to them, look, Paul, who are you depending on for salvation? They would say, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to now ask this man after this incident, after the end of this chapter, who are you depending on? I'm depending on the Son of God. I've rested my all on him. And it is my trust, my confidence that is involved in believing. It's not simply an acceptance of facts about him, though that is involved. It is placing my confidence in him. That's the idea in this word believe, is the idea in the word faith that we find in the Bible. It is that trust, that confidence that you have in him, that he alone is able to save you. He alone died on the cross for you. He alone rose from the dead. He alone lives in the presence of God. And the man is asked by the Son of God, do you believe in the Son of God? You'll notice that there is precision in the language of the Lord Jesus. It's not believing in anyone. It's believing in a unique person. And that is stressed by the question the Lord asks, do you believe in the Son of God? And you'll find as you read through John's Gospel that this attention to detail is given. The Lord Jesus could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He will say in the next chapter, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He will say, I am the good shepherd. And what we are being confronted with are the unique claims of the Son of God. He's not saying a Son of God. He's not saying a door or a way or a shepherd. He's saying, I am the only one. The only one. And if I want to be saved, and if I want to know the Lord as my shepherd, I have to come to the right person. I need to put my confidence in the right person. You see, our world is full of people who have faith. But they have faith in 101 different things. They can even have faith in ritual. But the question is, the question from the Son of God is this, do you believe in the Son of God? Now he's speaking, of course, he's directing that challenging question to this man. Now at this point, this man didn't understand and didn't appreciate the Lord Jesus in this way. And the Lord Jesus, and he answered and said, who is he, Lord? I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is, that I might believe in him. And so there was a willingness to believe, but he didn't know who to believe in. Well, it's wonderful that the Lord Jesus didn't leave him in that state of ignorance. Didn't leave him in that state where he was unsure of who to believe in. Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. In other words, the Lord Jesus reveals himself to this man and reveals himself not only as a man that is called Jesus, that was true, not only as he is a prophet, that was true, not only as a worshipper of God, that was true, but here is the crux of it. He reveals himself to the man as the Son of God. Yeah, that was what the people in Samaria came to appreciate. Is not this the Christ? It was the truth that Peter declares when he was asked the question, whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was the truth the disciples again utter in chapter 6 of this gospel at the end of the chapter when the Lord Jesus says to them, will you also go away? Some were departing from him. And they said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I asked the question, do you believe in the Son of God? And we cannot say, Lord, who is he? Because he's revealed to us in the scriptures. We know the answer that at that point the man didn't know. But he gets this revelation from the Son of God. And that's how we come to understand who the Lord Jesus is. We find a revelation of him in the scriptures. Not some dramatic revelation of visions or things like this. It's given to us in the Bible. But the response is still the same. Verse 38, Lord, I believe. What a personal statement. The personal confidence and trust that the one who was standing before him, Jesus, a man that is called Jesus, he is also the Son of God. And you'll notice that this man confesses him as Lord. In other words, he was handing over to the Lord Jesus, in a sense, ownership of his life. He confessed him as Lord. We've quoted from Acts chapter 16, when Paul was asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And he gives the answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We can remember the words of Romans chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This one who speaks to the man is going to go to Calvary. He's going to lay down his life, but God has raised him from the dead. And now the answer to the question, do you believe in the Son of God, is this. Here is a man who's able to say, Lord, I believe. It's not, Lord, my parents believe, my friends believe, folk in the gospel hall believe. No, the key question is this. Can we say out of a true heart, Lord, I believe? It's my personal confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, my trust in him. And so he makes confession. He confessed him as Lord, and he confesses his faith in the Lord Jesus. And then something remarkable happens. And he worshipped him. This was an act that gives proof and a demonstration that this man recognized that he was in the presence of deity. He worshipped him. Worship belongs only to God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And now the man, he began the chapter in darkness, blind from birth. And now his eyes have opened, and more than that, he has come into a relationship with the very Son of God himself. And now he is a worshipper. He worships him. Now, worship is what God demands of every human being. That is the very first revelation of God in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible begins with the words, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the name of God that is used in that verse, although it's not clear in our English translation, is a name of God that means to adore, to worship. And God, as he is revealed to us in the very opening words of the Bible, is presented to us as the one to whom we must worship. And so we can fill our hearts with all sorts of things. We can have idols, not material idols maybe, but other things that fill our hearts and displace God. But here is a man who's come to put his confidence in the Son of God, and he becomes a worshipper, and he worshipped him. That's where God wants us to be. That's the journey, if you like, God wants us to take. Obey his Son and put our confidence, our trust in him. So here is the question I want us to seek to recall and remember. This question of challenge from the Son of God. Do you believe in the Son of God? Now, I'm not going to ask you the question. I remember when I was younger, there would be believers and they would sometimes ask you, are you saved? I used to get very embarrassed when I was asked that sort of question, even though I was saved. But this is a question being asked by the Son of God. Do you believe in the Son of God? Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.